Okay, so before we start, I mean, do you have guys build any machine learning model? Okay, any deep learning network? That's great. So basically, this presentation is for very beginner. And in this presentation, I'm not going to.
We're going to have the cameras also recording in here.
Okay. So I'm going to discuss very surface level. There is no map, there is no complexity. So before we start, what is TensorFlow? So TensorFlow is a framework, and you can build your flow of network to compute something, right? So basically it does graph-based computation. You can flow, do this operation, then do this, then do this. Then this creates a whole flow. And you can compute this by sending data later. We will see in a couple of minutes, but suppose you have, how to use TensorFlow? Suppose you have a machine learning problem and you know little bit about, okay, suppose you have machine learning problem, you know little bit about machine learning, deep neural network and high level, then you can tell to TensorFlow that to solve your problem. After that, you can monitor your result using TensorFlow. So TensorFlow is very popular because of neural network. So, but neural network is little complex to understand. So in this presentation, I will go straightforward, something like this. I'll choose a problem, then I will discuss little bit machine learning, deep learning network in a high level. Then I'll get ready data set, then we'll create a graph neural network with single hidden layer. Then we'll send data to the neural network. After that, we'll train the model in several steps. Then we'll visualize the result. That's the plan. Okay, so let's get it started. So let's start with a machine learning problem and data set. I picked a very simple data set. It's called Titanic data set. Probably you know this. This is a real data set of around 800 people about Titanic. So we see that we have information about each passenger. They have passenger ID, whether they were survived or not, passenger class, name, sex, sibling and spouse count, parental count, ticket fares, cabin, etc. So, what is our problem? Our problem is we have a column, survived. We need to predict whether a person was survived or not. That's the problem. That means we have this data. Now, for a new record like this, we need to predict whether this person was survived or not. So first question is, what kind of machine learning problem is this one? Anyone guess?
Classification.
Right. First
Classification.
is supervised learning. Why supervised learning? Because the target column is given here. So this is supervised learning. Okay. Next, this is classification problem because we want to detect whether this person was survived or not. And thirdly, we have exactly two class. So it is binary classification problem. right? So let's look at the data again. Here we have data. So first column is passenger ID. Do you think it is useful for machine learning? No.
Not really.
Yeah. So we'll drop this. So remember that in machine learning model, every data, whether it is sound data, text data, or tabular data, whatever we have to come up with a numeric value. So we will remove the name as well for simplicity. Then sex is maybe very important for this problem, but we are not handling text data, so we'll remove this as well. Suppose we do not know how to handle null value. For example, we have a null value here. So let's remove this. So basically, I want to go with this only numeric data that doesn't have any null value. Okay. So that's simple data set. So this is our survived column. This is our survived column, passenger class, sibling spouse count, parent child count, and here. So what are the things we are not doing here? How do you collect data? How do you clean data? How do you deal with the categorical data? How you will do feature engineering, right? Then what is the philosophy behind how do you split training data, test data, right? So I'm not going to cover all of these things because my focus is to build a pipeline up to the end. So to make it simple, I have all of these things. So next, let's build a model. But wait a second, we need to revise a little bit deep learning network, very high level, as I said. So this is a neural network. So every node here is a neuron. And all about when neuron will fire or not. What does it mean neuron fires or not? That means whether neuron will carry data from one layer to next layer. So here we see that this is the input layer, this is the one hidden layer, and this is the output layer. So what we need to know here, how many nodes we should put in input layer? Any idea?
What are the input data?
Yes, number of fissures we have. Yes. So in our example, we have four fissures, so we get four input nodes in input layer. And second question is how many nodes we should have in hidden layer? We don't know. Let's pick one. Later we can decide whether we did good or not. Let's pick one. Just let's say it. Then output layer is actually how many classes we have need to pay. So here we have two. So this is neural network. And this is deep neural network because we have multiple hidden layer. So that's why we call it deep neural network. Okay, so next few slides, we will learn what is inside a little bit high level. So how it works. So this is a complete bipartite, k-bipartite graph. That means all nodes from this layer is connected to the all node in the next layer, and so on. And each edge has a weight, and each layer has bias. So when we put information to train this network, it goes from this layer to this layer to the next layer up to the end. Then it calculates some sort of difference between the actual output and predicted output. So that is our loss. Once we have that, then it returns backward to adjust weight and bias so that it does better job next time. So let's see what is inside of this east node. So this is one node from the input layer. Here is the node. So that the responsibility of this neuron is to send a value from the data set. For example, if we want to pass this very specific records to the network, this node is responsible for sending 3. Right? Okay. And similarly, the number 4 node is responsible for sending 7.25. That's simple. Okay. Next, we want to see that what is inside of a node of a hidden layer. So I zoom in a little bit and it looks like this. That means here we have, for example, this one is here. So we have an input that is basically depending on the how many nodes in your previous layer. So in this case, 4, right? 4 input here, and each edge has an weight. So that is W1J, W2J, right? These two things is input of this node. Then we have a bias. So if we multiply for each input and the related weight plus multiply, then we get a number, right? We'll get a number. These numbers goes through a activation function. So activation function means whether this neuron will fire or not. So we'll see an example in the next slide. So let's see, we have a node and we have some value comes in the node and there is some way. So here's the formula, right? With bias 2. So it becomes minus 1.2, for example. Then we have to send this value to a activation function. And what does it mean, activation function? The activation function, the role of activation function is to control this neuron, whether it will fire or not. But how it does? For example, we can use many activation functions. One of activation function is ReLU, rectified linear unit. So what is ReLU? ReLU is something like you have a curve. If it is less than 0, it is 0. And if it is more than 0, then it is the real value. So that means if we pass ReLU, minus 1.2 in ReLU, can anyone guess what could be the output? 0, yeah.
Zero.
And ReLU minus, ReLU 0.7? It's 0.7.
0.7.
Yes. Okay. So this is one activation function. And we have many activation functions like tangent, softmax, sigmoid, etc. So this is happening inside of a node of hidden layer. And what about a node of output layer? So in output layer, we have some value. It could be something like, for example, 0.6, 0.2. And this, suppose for a very specific record, for example, this one, we had survived one means 0.1, we want to predict this one. Now, we need to calculate some sort of loss. How far from the actual output? So how will we do that? There are a lot of loss function I have in the next slide, but for example, we can square this. So if we do that for all records, then you will get an average loss, okay? So once we get that, so here is the list of functions you can use as loss function. So it's depending on what is your problem, and how it works, right? Probably you can define your own function as well. So once we have the loss, then we can calculate, update the weight and bias. So a network is learning. What does it mean? It means that it is updating just weight. Weight of its edge. So that it works better. So a model is trained. What does it mean? It means that you have a model, you have some set of parameters that is trained, ready to use to do some prediction. Okay, so now how should I calculate the evaluate this thing, right? Here is an example. Suppose we have this data set and this is the actual survived or not, this is the actual target column. And now we predicted something like this. Predicted, so yeah, we have 10 rows with 2 ones. And my model predicted all 0. Now tell me what is the accuracy of my model? 80% or I can say 0%?
It's not
answer. Well, so what I want to say, this is not a very simple thing that you can calculate by difference how many records you have it correctly. So here is a lot of maybe 30 accuracy function. How should we calculate the accuracy? Right. Okay, so that the function is already implemented in TensorFlow. Okay, that's fine. So let's get you started with data set and build a model. The first step is get ready your data set. So since we took a very simple data set, it's very easy. But before going that, let's say hello to TensorFlow. So here is TensorFlow. Suppose we have a constant, we have another constant, we want to add this. We have a constant, we have another constant, we want to flow these two constants to a add function. So how should we do? So I go to the Python terminal, then I import TensorFlow, okay? Then stop, okay. So interesting is X and Y is not 4 or 10. It is a tensor. X and Y is tensor. Then, can anyone tell the value of Z? Can anyone tell?
Another tensor?
Yes, another tensor. So that is the thing, Z is not the not 14, right? So we'll get 14 when we start session and evaluate it. So that is some sort of, that is some sort of blank operation and tells a TensorFlow that I need value of Z. So that's what we did. So in this example, I'm saying that I have a constant, I have a placeholder. Means I do not know the value of this thing. I will send value later when I start TensorFlow session. So I want to add these two variables and multiply as well. So here is the code for this. So here, this is not a just scalar a number, but is a vector or is a multi-dimensional vector. It actually 2x2 matrix. So A is a tensor, M is a tensor. We start session, and then we are saying that, hey session, give me a value of A and M. So that is actually, I'm saying that I need value of A and M. And this is the return value. And here, I'm saying that I do not know the value of this X matrix. I will send later That is very important concept. I'll send a value later. So now I'm sending the letter. So what is that? This structure, I built this structure from line 11 to line 14. Now it is ready, and when I start session and I'm sending, give me value for this data, give me value for this data. Okay? Okay, fine. So let's back to our Titanic data set. So let's load now all packages. Now I'll use Panda to load the data. Okay. So in this point, I always, what I do, I try to understand whether up to this point we did everything correct or not. For example, I know the data, I know the number of rows, number of columns, what is inside in this variable. Don't go blank. So let's use pandas to explore this data set little bit, very surface level. For example, it's in the shape. Shape means how many rows and columns you have. Then describe it. A number of columns, and what is the columns in the data set? Head to see the sample of this data, right? And okay, there is null value. I see that this is null value. And let's describe to understand the numeric value like max, mean, count, right? Standard deviation, yeah. Okay. So we said that we want to continue with only four columns. So let's delete the rest of the column. So in this step, we are deleting the column. Okay. So now I have four columns. Actually five, including survived column. Okay. Okay, so in this step, actually I'm taking the survived column to the level as a level variable. Right? Okay. Now, one thing is that we know that the responsibility of the input nodes, for example, if we have some data like 2, 2, 2, 3, then we know that 2 will be sent by number 1 row node, and next 2 is number 2, and the last node will send 3. That's fine. But suppose for this data set, we have the actual output is 1. So, but we have two classes. How should we convert 1, 2 to some many classes? Have any ideas? Okay, so let me pick a little bit bigger example to understand this. Suppose we have three classes, like whether he was survived, not survived, healthy, or injured, right? So I split the class into three classes. So it looks like first class is, number one class is healthy, number two class is injured, number three class is not survived. Okay. Now we're going to change this data so that it becomes the same number of columns in the data set. So imagine that you have three columns, and for each column is contained exactly 0, 1. For example, if your class is injured, then the number of the class number is 2, that means second column should be 1. So for this very specific example, for 2, we are converting to 0, 1, 0. Then we are making it as a column vector. That means we are saying that I do not need to be to have this class, but only I want to be in second class, right? Okay. So this is called one hot encoding. Okay. So let's do it. So I am taking a blank target value, and can anyone guess the what could be the shape of the target value? Anyone guess? What could be the shape of the target value? I mean, when you work with TensorFlow, I mean, you are always care about shape, what the size is going. Later we will visualize this thing, but shape, that means for a single output we are changing in a column head, in a column vector, that is size of 2, and how many records we have? 800 something. Then shape will be 800 something and 2. Okay. Then we are changing related position, then verify whether we did correct or not. So for example, level 0 means, what does it mean, level 0? Okay, so maybe you lost?
So level 0, that means survive. Does that mean they didn't survive? That's what we were doing.
Yeah, so far where we are, level 0 means, level number 0 means, I'm thinking, I'm looking the first person whether he will survive or not, right? Level 10, what does it mean, level 10? 10th person, whether they will survive or not.
It looks like those two labels are related, right? You can, if one is zero, that one has to be one.
So right, yeah.
That's a problem.
No.
The target. For example, if you have a category that K class is actually only came as one, right? Why is because the other one is
really nice. I mean, maybe it doesn't have a carry if you start with 0 or 1. So here we have two classes, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why the size is 2. Okay, so let's go. So we see that how target value is, we are making the target value is correct or not, right? Next step is we are removing the column name. We do not need column name anymore. So we take value and we transfer to an array. Then we are splitting. So I am taking 10% of data because our data set is very small. So let's take 10% data as a validation data. That means we'll train our model with trained data set. Well, it was all our trained data set, but now we are splitting and keep separate. Another set of small set of data with 10% data as a validation data. So it means that we took 801 records for training, and then for validation we took 90 records. Okay. So now we are going to create a graph. So our first step is we'll create graph with single hidden layer. So let's do that. So in this presentation, we are not going to talk about all of this thing. Maybe there's a couple of lectures should be, I don't know this. So here we are defining X. Remember placeholder means we are saying that I will send data later for all of these guys. So the size of this node, number of nodes is 4. And Y is that in the output variable, so the number of nodes is 2. And we are saying that I'm taking another variable to say the model whether it is going to be long or it's going to be paired. So whether it will pair it or long. So that is a Boolean variable. Next is I'm creating this layer. So in this hidden layer, we have, I'm taking 80 nodes, right? And there's activation function, there's some other settings. So remember, this is the input X, and number of nodes is 80.
Well, why is that?
I don't know, I did one, but later we can figure out whether we did good or not. It's a number right now. Then output layer, we are saying that input of this output layer is the hidden layer one, hidden layer n, and unit two, number of nodes. And we need to define some set of variables to control all over the network, like how we're going to, what is our loss function? What is our optimizer? How we are going to minimize this thing? Loss function, right? How are we going to pay it? Because there is a different method, different, functions to do that, different algorithms. So we need to pick the correct one. So let's do it in terminal. We're getting three variables, initialize graph, then X is tensor, okay. Then this is first hidden layer. This is the output layer. Okay. The rest of the thing is about all about the whole network. Okay. So we have built a graph with single hidden layer. Right? Now send data. So my little daughter is going to get first grade. So she learned a song. I'm a first grader, I'm a first grader. Then there's another sentence, I like that. If I can make here, I can make anywhere. If I can send one data, I can send many data. If I can predict one record, I can predict many records. So now we need to learn how to send one record, right? So this is very basic example and I like it. For example, we have, forget about everything. Forget about your training set, record, everything. I have two records, 2 to 2, 3, and prediction, actual class is 1. So we converted it 0, 1, remember it? And I take another one, and it is class 0. I want to train the model with this only these two data. And I'm to predict this, what would be for this data? It's so simple. So let's do that. So remember, this is our input, and we start session now. We start session, we initialize variable, then we are saying that this is my X. We are sending 2X, actually 1 and 2. This is my X, and this is my Y. We are sending this one and this one. And let's train. Train mode is 1. Does it make sense? So this line actually trained the model with these two records. So once it is done, I'm done training. Now I'm going to predict this. Let's predict. I'm sending this data, and I'm saying that now predict, don't train. And here we notice that this is training step. We are minimizing loss here, and we are predicting here. And we'll look back the what is in this variable. The training step and predict. Oh. So let's
do that. With the predict problem, let's go back to that.
Oh, I see it there. Yeah, so that's how we got here. Yeah. So training step is actually we are minimizing loss, and predicting step we are using softmax to predict the last output of the last layer.
But you're not using predict at all in there. That the TFR max. I don't see it being used. That oops about predict problem.
Which one?
So it's here you have two things there. You have predict and predict underscore product. I don't see where predict is being used.
Oh, later. Yeah. Okay. So we learn how to send some data, maybe one record, it's fine. Now, there's different type of policy, how you train your model. For example, we have data, we have graph, we can send all data to the network and then we can update the weight. That means one update is happening after sending all data. So what is problem here? Problem here, maybe if your data set is too big, then the training in process is very slow because you are calculating all of this data, then training your, then updating your. That means in one shot, you are sending all data. It's maybe not good. Second policy is you can send one, then update it, update weight. You can send next one, update record. Update weight. So it's called stochastic gradient descent. You are sending one data and you are very carefully moving to the local minimum. But there is another policy. You can choose some records to send the network, something like this. So it's called minibus AZD. So we'll see, we have already seen the middle one, but we'll see the rest of the two. So here, we are sending all data. So listen, this is now not single record, but all data. And next to block, actually, I am sending all data to the model. Model is trained. Now I'm sending again same data to understand what is the accuracy for our training data and the predicted and the validation data. You remember two data set. So we are using training data to train. Again, we are sending training data to understand how good it is. So that is, So that is the accuracy I have seen. So next time we are doing same one 10 times. That means we'll send all data 10 times. Here how it looks like. So right now forget about all of the accuracy, right? We're not focusing on the accuracy. Okay.
So each time you send different training set, right? Otherwise, because the training accuracy is different each time that you send the data.
Yeah, it's every time it's update the weight, so it could be a difference, right?
So it's a 10 independent calculation?
No.
Each time, for example, you first send the first batch and you have the weight, and then you send the second, you update the
weight. Yeah, that's right. So next we'll see that little bit. More details. So for example, now I do not want to send all data for one time. I want to pick a batch size like 300. I want to pick randomly 300 records from my training set and send to the training model to update the weight. I want to do that 400 times. Maybe this number is very big because our data set is very small. But forget about this. So I'm taking the random 300 rows and send to the model to train this. Okay. So let's start. Oops. Okay. It happens. And when I do programming language in different programming language. So. Okay. So this is what we wanted to show you. So now it's time to go for second layer. That means now we are going to have a deep learning network. That means we are creating, we'll create a new layer.
Just curious, if you have few data, how do you train the model? I'm really curious about the process because if you have another parameters, we don't have enough data, how do you get one? It's really trash.
Yeah, I mean, there are different policy. How do you know that you need more data?
Yeah, at least you should have enough number of data to send in each batch. Mm. Otherwise, if you only want to send one sample,
many data doesn't mean that the accuracy will improve, right? Mm. For example, I and Felix working another project. So in this project, we have generated how many images? 20,000 images, but I build a model. It seems that if I take only randomly 1,000 images, then it's doing pretty good job.
It doesn't know. Because
yeah.
Because you've already seen enough.
Yeah. So it is. Yeah. Okay. So now we are going to build the second layer. It's pretty much straightforward. So what we are going to do, we are going to create another layer. So remember, the input of the second hidden layer should be the first hidden layer. And we need to change another place. For example, output layer, input of the output layer should be hidden layer 2. And how many nodes we want in hidden layer? So here I put 40. Then, yeah, as regular in the other parameters. It's 4, step 4. OK, fine. So now dropout. So do you know dropout? Dropout means you are preventing model to be overfit. Okay. So how dropout works? Dropout works. I mean, suddenly you said that hidden layer two, that maybe with some percentage, 40% of node of hidden layer two should not be work in some certain training step. That means we are sending data, right? Maybe we are in 300 rows we are sending to the model, but we are saying that don't work 40% rows in hidden layer one, hidden layer two. It actually helps to have better weight update for the rest of the edges. So let's say, implement this. So I took a hidden layer, and so it's pretty simple. For example, input of the hidden layer should be dropout layer should be hidden layer one, 40% dropout rate. Then hidden layer two, input of this layer is, I mean, that means we are inserting another layer. Yeah. Okay, so if you do that, the output will look like this. So let's review. I'm sorry, but maybe it's boring, but let's review. So we load our packages, we load our data, we drop our columns, we separate our target variable and value. Then we separate our data, we training data, test data, then, this is so fast. Okay. So we build from layer one, layer two, hidden layer, then some parameters for the model. Then we fix the dash size. Then we are saying that we want to do 10 times the whole work. For each time, we want to take 300 rows and we want to do that 400 times to train the model. Yeah. And for each time, we are looking how good we are doing, right? So that's it. So now questions, we did something. I don't know whether it is good or not, bad. So how do you know that we are doing good or bad. How do you monitor this? So that is some kind of output thing. So that's in the last layer. Okay, so there is two things. We'll see how we will monitor our model. What we have built, we wrote few line codes, but what is happening inside the network? So let's do that. So to do this, I am saving the log in some directory with default graph. So graph, that the graph we are building, it will save in some format. That's done. Next we will use TensorBoard. TensorBoard is another web application. So it actually gives a way to visualize your data, training data, test data, accuracy, as well as the model. So we are going to use that. So we run it with the log writer, then we see that there is a new file, okay? Now we are opening another terminal. Then let's run the TensorBoard. So there is the command. Let's say that you are in the correct position. Yeah, I am in the right directory. Then TensorBoard log directory equals where we have set the thing. Okay, fine. So it actually create a local host as a web server with 6.0.0.6.4 by default. So here is the TensorBoard. Okay, so you see the graph tabs, the tab up there, and this is our model. Oh, it's so fast. Stars. Okay, so this is the graph we had built. Then we are visualizing this. So actually, this is very complex graph, and they build some algorithm to how we visualize this in easy ways, right? Yeah, so you can interact with this. So let's see, this is first hidden layer, this output layer, this is loss, and this is first hidden layer, okay. So it is pretty much unorganized, okay. But if you click inside this, this is the four, tensor is going there, okay. Then if you want to click, if you click this node, you will see many things inside. So this is the bias and this is how optimizer works. This is the flow actually. This is called tensor flow network. This is not that the whatever we are looking the deep learning network, but this is flow of tensor. It is not necessary to be a deep neural network, but you can add some operation and build this graph. Okay, so this is pretty much unorganized, but problem is if you have big model, then need to manage this, right? So we can organize, there is a way to organize this network. So let's do that. So to do that, we bring some variable in TensorFlow namespace, namescope. Okay, so I'm saying that these are the my input. I know it's this input, so I put them in input namespace. Okay, so we know that this is our layers. Let's do that. So first hidden layer we put inside. Robot layer, hidden layer, two, then output layer. Then we can put output, okay. I forget the clone, okay, fine. That's done. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you a JavaScript programmer?
Yeah, I mean, I use many things. Okay, so here is the new model. I mean, the internal structure is same, but how we want to see this, right? So I remove this, it does automatic, so I remove hidden layer, one from here, it will get two from. Okay. Now see, this is input layers and outputs. So in inputs we have placeholder, eggs and labels. Oh, okay. And in the layer, look, this is, we have past hidden layer, best optimizer, value, past dropout, second hidden layer, then it's going to the output layer. So you can visualize and interact with this graph, and it is very easy to debug. This is the size, shape. Yeah, okay. So we saw that how to monitor the model, but how to monitor, you know, the original thing like accuracy, loss. So let's do that. So here I'm going to monitor more additional thing. So I'm saying that I need to monitor loss. So that comes from loss variable, okay. Then I'm saying that for each iteration when it trains, I want to save the loss in log file. That's all. So now I'm going to say that I need this loss variable summary. I need to return. And previously we do not need to that. Okay. So summary writer and okay, yeah. Summary and some steps to make graph plot. Okay. So counter equals counter plus one. So this is some sort of global variable. Let's run it. So we have already started our web server, so do not need to go that for that. Let's switch the browser. Okay. Done. Okay, yeah. We see the scholar here. That means we are seeing the loss. Our loss is reducing. So can you comment about what is loss? I mean, what data is used for calculation of this loss?
Training data.
But yeah, this is how we want to reduce loss for training data. But it doesn't mean that it will reduce loss for validation data. That part we do not know. So let's do a little bit more to monitor that as well. So we want to add a little bit more code to see the accuracy. There is another variable accuracy with some functions. Okay. So this is new accuracy, variable to monitor. Then we're adding this as well as in training state. So we are taking another writer. We'll see in a minute. Okay. That means we are writing twice for training data and validation data. So I build a shell command to remove the error and run it. Let's run. So one nice thing about this, it automatically updates your data at 10 support. So maybe in 20 seconds or I forget, 20 or 30 seconds it runs automatically. So here is the data. The training data is fine. So it is like removing loss, accuracy, increasing accuracy, and decreasing loss. It's fine. But it is always what happens, huh? But what about validation data? You said it's not doing very well. The loss is increasing. That is not a good sign, right? Yeah. So what do we do? We took a problem, machine learning problem, and we go through a little bit high-level deep learning network. Then we tell TensorFlow to do our job. Then we monitor our, you know, what is happening. Right? Now question is, are you happy? No, because the car is going in another direction, like the lost car is going up. So it's not good. But you can do again. You can learn a little bit machine learning problem, deep learning network, and do the same thing. If you do, this is how machine learning works. If you do many times, then you automate yourself. At the end of the day, you will have one node left that is machine understand the problem and data set, which is basically feature engineering is key of applied machine learning. But conclusion of machine learning problem is not easy. I mean, yeah. So it's matter.
Correlation is not possession. Thank you very much.
So if you think of the number of nodes in the hidden layer, you just try?
No, I didn't try to optimize, actually.
You have multiple levels, so you can try this.
Yeah. I mean, you can try and reduce, maybe, and you can reduce and increase. So since we have monitoring tool, it is easy to monitor, right?
You're still, I can still see your see the slides. I don't know what happened there. So keep going.
What I'm to do? Okay. Yeah. And do I have any question?
I have one. How sensitive is the weight matrix when you have the family gate? What's 10% and give another thing? What's the variance of the
value? I mean,
this is training. This was not input, this is training of money.
Yeah, but you shouldn't give the data sequentially. You want to always data randomly. Yeah, because in data set comes from some specific pattern, maybe it's bad pattern for machine learning. So you always want to do randomize before sending data, even 5%. Okay.
Somebody asked, is the dropout a random dropout of nodes or any particular criteria?
It's a random dropout.
Yeah. What is the difference between deep neural networks, convolutional neural networks, and recurrent neural networks?
So okay, so all of this thing is deep neural network. But for example, CNN, it works differently. For example, the first layer is connected, only connected to the second layer. But for CNN is maybe some selective connected to the next layer. And CNN is also, it's good for the image processing, image stream, yeah.
So what are the
art
cases that you need to use convolution rather than imaging?
I do not know, because for image it is clear how it is sensing.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, lot of sense. But for tabular data, I don't know. I mean, how do you do convolution for a tabular data? I don't know. Yeah.
You in this case, I'm not sure. How
No, I didn't use. Yeah, I didn't use.
Yeah, with convolution, you need to like know your
relation
to the data points and
build
distance.
Mm-hmm.
This one comment says, I think the accuracy is really a bad example, measurement for this example, because the data is so imbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you should use edge scores.
Otherwise,
I can't believe that you can get 70% accuracy.
Right.
This is should be most really hard.
Is this recorded somewhere?
I don't know. Maybe you can. Can you send me the link?
Yeah, I'll send it out. I'll email it to you and I'll post it to our Slack as well. So, are you on our Slack?
Yeah, in Slack, but maybe not with you.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll just email it to you.
Okay.
People, there's one other question from a friend already asks, when do we need deep learning? I was wondering about this, like, there, maybe this is a really bad example for that because you can use.
That is actually a good question. When should we use deep learning network? So, I mean, if you cannot separate your class with a single line that is linear, then you should use deep learning network.
I was told you don't have enough data, then we try deep learning.
that is another example.
Anything else? Any other questions?
Thank you for coming. Yeah.
I think I actually finally understand deep
learning. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I made my day.